Welcome to NFCC's Guide Through the Seasons of Mental Wellness. I'm your host, Anna Crane, a licensed social worker and outreach counselor at Nick Finnegan Counseling Center here in Houston, Texas. You are not alone. Saying this to someone who is struggling may be the most comforting thing that you could say to them. There are 8 billion people on this earth. Of course we're not alone, but there are times in life when it certainly feels like we are. Times when it may be difficult to talk about what you're going through. In this season of the Seasons of Mental Wellness, we get vulnerable and talk about how to overcome struggles that are more common than you may think, with someone who's been through it. I'm your host, Anna Crane. Now let's get into today's episode. Welcome, Jenny. I'm so excited to have you here and to have the NFCC community learn about you and who you are and everything that you're about, because obviously I've known you since, I think, 2018 as a part of your dance house fitness community back in the day. But I'd love for you to tell us about you and just kind of your journey to where you are today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I am super excited to be here and just connect with you guys and your audience. My real name is actually Evgenia Alexandrovna Mayence, but now I'm Evgenia Alexandrovna Sanchez. So plot twist, Jenny was made up by my first grade teacher who like very much Americanized me. And my real English name should be Zhenya. And so like to this day, there's so much a part of me where I'm like, do I change it? Like, how do I pivot back to my origins? But my story, I mean, that could be a whole podcast, but to shorten sweet version, I graduated college with an oil and gas concentration in energy commerce through the business school at Texas Tech and went on to work for biggest oil and gas company in the U.S., ExxonMobil. And while I was transitioning from college to the workforce and working in high profile negotiations, I found myself really seeking community and something outside of work that made me feel good. I was in a transitional time in my life where I really just didn't feel my best post-college, like health-wise. You know, I wouldn't say I was like a huge partier, but naturally I lived my college years.
Yeah.
Like eating whatever I wanted and, you know, indulging and doing things that I think when you're young, you're not like forward thinking. And as soon as I graduated, I was like, this is so not my vibe anymore.
Right. It's like, oh, I want Pizza Hut and a beer.
Yeah.
But like now I wouldn't.
No,
but
I mean,
like back then I was like, heck yes,
and,
I do.
And not even just like indulging, like it's like a regular thing.
Yeah.
Like having like, Pizza Hut and a beer would be like my indulgent moment. I would like feel good about it, but I wouldn't be doing it every day now.
Right, you know? Right.
So I started working out and eating right and really going on a personal weight loss journey that, I mean, I got so into it that I was like, I feel like I could teach group fitness and I feel like that could be something that I really, really would thrive in. So while I was in corporate America, I started my career in group fitness in 2014 simultaneously in corporate, teaching rhythm-based cycle. And it was such an alignment for me because I grew up dancing. And so at that time, I was like teaching a full-time instructor. I would teach at 5 a.m. and then I would go to work and then I would go and teach after work as well.
Like, yeah, like go to work that is like a serious job.
Yeah.
Not just like,
no,
I'm going
yeah.
to work and I'm sitting at a desk and not really do anything.
Like,
on Google Chat, right?
Yeah.
Like, or G-Chat.
G-Chat? What even was it?
Yeah.
And I just started seeing that like I was not performing as well after a couple years in my corporate role because I was so excited to like go do what I actually love. And so along that journey, I started teaching as well at a big corporate gym, Equinox, taught a lot of different modalities. And then in 2016, I realized like, one, I could do something unique and different that isn't offered because I grew up dancing. And so I was looking for like a fun adult dance cardio class that was inclusive, non-competitive, made people feel good and something different that I could not find on my own. Of course, there was Zumba and a lot of really big upcoming follow along style, but I liked different variety of music. I didn't want it to just be Latin based. And so I started renting space and doing pop-ups with people. But when I say people, it was like my mom, my mom's friend. Like I had like 3 people in class at the beginning and they were all somehow connected to me. It wasn't like an Anna who like saw the class, wanted to try it, like random person.
Random person here, followers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so that took me on a completely different trajectory because that started opening up my mind to, wait, like, should I transition careers and do something completely different? And at that time, I was so all in to do that. I was 24 years old. Like, my responsibilities were me. Mm-hmm. And so when I think back, because now I'm 34, that was 10 years ago that I started my own company, signed my first commercial lease. And in fact, I signed two leases and opened two locations in under a year at 24. Like, now I'm like, I have kids to support. I got school to pay for. I got childcare. Like, I don't know that I would have taken that risk.
Right, right.
So whatever, matter of fact, yeah. Because it's a lot. I cashed out my 401k. I like did everything you would think to do to go all in. But at that time, my mindset was like, what do you have to lose? You're young and you can always go back into the workforce. And that's kind of the trajectory. From there, I built an incredible brand, an incredible business for 7 years under Dance House Fitness. It became a Houston staple and the pandemic hit and a lot of my life personally and professionally shifted. That year took, it took it all. Okay. I was like, this is.
For so many people.
But like, you know, it's interesting because even though it was one of the worst years, it was also one of the best years of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. You had that precious baby.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I had my firstborn son in 2020. Yeah. So.
It's okay.
But that year was no joke. Like, literally, I would be trying to survive, like keep a business surviving, paying like all my team, all the rents, thousands. And I mean, you can't even imagine like how much financially it was very difficult
to
uphold that with no revenue coming in. Like any small business owner, I mean, you had massive corporations shutting down.
Yes.
Like, you know, Starbucks was closing thousands of locations. Like, if you think about that in that perspective, if massive corporations with endless amounts of dollars were struggling to keep alive, then your mom and pops are just like really dying.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I saw, and it wasn't just me, I saw a lot of my colleagues like struggling and people that really deserved the best.
Absolutely.
You know, were just not. There was like no hope in that moment.
Well, and so much of that too was, I mean, as a consumer of your product, right? Like I was like, I need to go to a workout class. Like I need Jenny to tell me it's going to be okay. Like I have felt that I am a part of your community, right? And like you shifted so incredibly beautifully. Like I remember thinking like, what am I going to do? I was also preparing for my wedding. Hilariously thinking it was still going to happen in person. And I was like, it's fine. I'm going to get married. No big deal. Everyone needs to see me look skinny, which is hilarious in so many ways. But like you were like, yeah, let's keep going. Like you shifted to online platforms. Yeah. You were holding Zoom classes. Like Jenny was supposed to come to my bachelorette party and do like a.
Yeah, we were supposed to go to Zoom for you guys.
Yeah. And she did a Zoom for us. Like you were making it work. Like, it's crazy to hear from your perspective, but like from the consumer, it was like, she is on it. Like,
I will tell
ready.
You, I think that in Houston, because I am very familiar with most of the studio owners.
Right.
I think we pivoted first. I think like March 14th, I'll never, ever forget that day, was like the day that everything was to be shut down.
Yeah.
The next day I was already on Zoom. I had never even heard of Zoom. I didn't know what Zoom was.
Yeah, we did our class on the
16th. I had no idea what the hell. I was like, pay the $15.99 and let's get this party popping. And it, you know, I'm sure if I went back into my records and like watched that class, I'd be like, wow. I mean, the sound was probably atrocious, like all the things. But I think the biggest lesson I learned during that time, and it kind of moves into the trajectory of like where I am now, is that when you feel the need to pivot, like trusting your gut and knowing that it's really important to continue evolving and moving forward, even though you have to let go of things. So like here we are, it's 2024. I actually closed Dance House Fitness down in 2023, which was another one of the hardest years of my life because it was a letting go year. And if you've ever had to let go of things, you're holding on to when it was good, right? Yeah. You're holding on to the memories of like, there were really good times. It really worked. But like, if you get real with yourself and how it is at the present, is it worth staying in that situation? Is it worth staying in that business? Is it worth staying in that job? Is it whatever the case might be?
I mean, there's so many things that are connected to what you're saying.
The reason people stick around or push through or like, you know, and I'm not saying you don't work through it because I worked my ass off to get through it. But there's sometimes where it's in order to grow,
right?
You do have to let go. And so I had started to feel a shift in 2020 already with the business. And I wanted to give it enough time to see, will it come back? Will people's lives resettle? And honestly, like, it's never going to be the same. The way boutique fitness and even the consumer spends their money, lives their life, like, things just changed after 2020.
They totally did.
People don't have those same schedules. People work very hybrid, remote, like, one, maybe 2 to 3 days in the office, at home.
Yeah.
So much shifted that, like, the way that our business like ran and things made sense is so unpredictable at this point.
Right.
So when I made the decision to close DHF, it was aligned with the fact that our lease was coming to term. I felt like it was time to have a shift in growth. And I knew that the direction and the trajectory for me to be super successful in this space, if I wanted to continue, was to build out a really successful app and have a hybrid Skype model, because I love in real life connection. Like, yes. I'll never be able to like get rid of in real life classes, because that's what makes me feel my most connected to my clientele. But I also recognize that's where we are, in my opinion,
as a society. Totally.
Everything is very hybrid.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not doing something the exact same way nonstop anymore. Like, the
totally.
Way we connect, the way we're in office, the way anything, I just feel like it's become a more fluid hybrid model versus like you're going 8 to 5 to work, or you're,
yeah,
I don't know. And employers, I think, saw a shift in how productive their people are. There's proven science now behind it that they're just as productive, if not more productive, in the comfort of their home or in the hybrid style model.
Right.
Because
they're less stressed.
They're less stressed. And the reality is you spend so much time at work that you start to resent your time there. And
yes.
So if you look at the big moguls, Google, mm-hmm. you go onto that campus, you think you're on vacation. They are wearing normal clothes. They're being normal people. And it's because the people at the top recognize if our people are happy, we are going to do better, be better, and live better, and our work productivity is going to go up. So it's so mind-boggling to me, because I came from such a corporate setting that they still think that that is that, or people still think that that is what like
the world is going to be.
And
yeah,
I'm
I agree.
I'm telling you, if I ever went back into a corporate setting, which I've considered like going into a marketing branding setting, I'm rolling up in my Nike high tops and my leggings and my cute jean jacket. And that's what we're wearing to work, because I know I'm going to be more productive.
Yeah. Well, and
you're not going to catch me in a suit unless it's like bright pink and we're vibing. Like,
right. Unless it's like very trendy.
Yeah. Unless it's I used to wear like black leggings, like black, you know,
work pants.
And
like who owns work pants these days? Not me.
I don't have a single pair.
I'm like, let's get the soft pants up in here.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I touch on a couple of things that you just talked about, because like, obviously I'm lucky enough to know you and, like I said, be a part of your community. And a few things that really stand out to me about you and my experience as a community member of yours is that like, you are so intentional. Mm. You are so relatable and authentic, and you are also so driven to pay attention to what's going on around you, right? Like, I think we just heard that in your story. I think a lot of that is probably rooted in, or at least what comes off as, self-confidence. And, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking, like, we could probably talk about so many things with you as far as, like, you aren't alone, because I feel like you are such an incredible example of, like, what it means to be a self-made woman. And I'm, like, so proud just knowing you. But I think something I'd love to hear you talk about, because we are here to talk about body image, but I think we can really expand on self-confidence in general. Is that something that comes naturally to you, or what has been your journey in, like, creating this, like, self-confident, self-loving version of yourself that can be authentic with, I mean, so many Instagram followers and so many people like me who are like, I want to be her friend, you know?
Sure. Honestly, I would say from a very young age, and probably if you talk to, like, people who have known me in the trajectory of my life, I have always kind of beat to my own drum.
Yeah.
And I think that, so two things I think have played a strong role in me kind of, like, being this, like, strong, passionate, confident person. And I want to talk about what confidence feels looks like as you grow up as well, because I grew up in a very, I mean, immigrant-based household. I'm an immigrant as well. So my family got here when I was 2 years old, and my parents worked full-time, and I, from a very young age, had to take care of myself, not fend for myself. My parents were always there for me, but it was like I made my own lunches. I Right. got myself together. My parents had to go to work, things like that. And so my mindset was always, you have to do your best, show up your best, be your best. And there's really no excuse, because that's just, like, the household that I grew up in. But yeah. I think it made me a natural born leader. It made me also, being an only child, I really, like, I think, you know, there's stereotypes of only children, but, like, when it came to me, I think I really connected with people and wanted to get to know other people.
Wanted community.
Yeah, I wanted community from a young age, because I always fueled off of other people's energy. And, like, in fact, a senior year, I was voted, like, most outgoing in high school, because I would have, you know, I'm proud of the young person I was, mm-hmm. because I think she was exactly who she is now. I was nice to everybody.
Yeah.
I tried to get to know all different kinds of groups, because, you know, during those young youthful years, you have your
yes.
different groups and different friends. But I tried to be friends with everyone. Like, yeah. I honestly think that that's what has made me be able to continue down that path as I've gotten older. I always struggled, though, with weight. I mean, yeah. body image and weight, like, I never, ever, ever was, like, I even hate saying the word, but, like, skinny.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
growing up, I was, like, a thicker girl. I grew up dancing my whole life. And when you're in the dance environment, right. like, I definitely was, like, the bigger girl on stage. I just remember from a young age, I was always focused on, like, diet and exercise. And, like, yeah. when my girlfriends, you know, in middle school were eating whatever, like, I would still be very cautious and, like, aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like that's so weird to think, like, such a young person being aware of watching their weight. Like, what? Like, that doesn't, like, live your life. Like, that's the time.
I know, but it's so funny because, like, from a mental health perspective,
yeah.
I mean, little girls yeah. as young as 3 years old are aware of their weight because and they're the way that they look, because it's something that we talk about, right? Like, I mean, I have an 8-month old, and people say, like, do people stop you all the time and tell you how adorable and cute she is? And it's insane, but sometimes I think, oh gosh, but she's really big. Like, she's a big little girl.
Yeah.
And mama's a big woman.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I hope that that is what she continues to always hear, that she is adorable, that she is wonderful, that she is perfect the way that she is made, but it's not.
You know, when I think back on it, like, and I think even to this day, something that happens is we don't necessarily hear it from other people. Like, no one's going to go up to you nowadays. And if they do, like, they really are out of touch and be like, you're fat. You know what I mean? Or, like, you need to lose weight.
Right.
But it's an internal conversation that we're constantly having. Like, I'm fat. I need to lose weight. I don't feel my best. And let me tell you, I think confidence, first off, should not be based on weight. Like, I think what I think confidence actually is just knowing who you are, understanding what makes you unique, and bringing that to the forefront. And I think if people stepped away from the thought that confidence has to do with the way you look versus like who you are and what you're about, then more people would be more confident. Because naturally we connect confidence with weight, looks, body image, But and that's why when we do see like plus size women or people that are just happy with where they are in their life, we are inspired by them because we're like, damn, like they own who they are.
Totally.
And so I think one thing in all of my different, because I've been 130, I've been 250. Right now I've like already gained 50
She's
pounds.
Pregnant again.
Yes, I'm 30 weeks pregnant. But in all the different stages, I try to remain confident in who I am and why I am a good person, why I deserve to be loved, why I deserve the best out of life, you know? And that also is what makes me feel my most confident self. I will say, like, I would be lying if I wouldn't say I'm struggling right now. Like, being pregnant and being in, like, a fitness professional and just, you know, you go through – it's a mind fuck. You're gaining weight without control, which is, like, the hardest thing, right? Because, like, naturally, you can control – your healthy lifestyle by exercising, eating right, having a balanced life.
Right.
But when you don't have control, like when you're pregnant or going through something where maybe you
can't work out
physically enabled or whatever the case might be, that's where the confidence and all of that starts to dip because you're like, I know I can be better. And we've talked about this.
Yeah, we have.
Because you're like, you know, you want to do more, you want to give more, but you physically can't. And that's really challenging. And so I just try and have been trying on this specific journey to give myself grace because this shit will
rock you.
Yeah. And I also know with having a following, and I wouldn't say I'm like a mega influencer.
Right.
But I do, the way I look at my following is I want to inspire these women and or men and whoever follows me to know that where they are in their life, like, it's okay. And to also recognize that, like, I'm be real with you. You know what I mean? Because I think one thing that is a problem, and it's a big problem, is what we see on social media. Everybody thinks is real. Everybody thinks like we were talking about this, like a lot of fitness professionals in my industry and just in general are honestly one in a million.
Yeah.
Like the way they look through their pregnancies, the way they come out of their pregnancies, like that.
The way they look in general.
In general. And that's not the normal woman who is trying to be a mom, who's trying to be a wife, who's trying to be a friend, who's trying to be herself.
An executive.
Like what? No. I mean, and maybe has literally like 30 minutes in between to go on a power walk. Like the reality is that most, and I'm speaking to women because that's like just what I'm most comfortable connecting with, is most women are really just taking it day by day.
Oh, yes, girl.
And trying to make sure.
Moment by moment.
Just trying to make sure like
we're trying to get by.
Are brushing our teeth in the morning and like.
I mean, getting through it. And I think something that's like so huge, you've said so many things that I'm like, oh, we need to talk about that. Oh, we need to talk about that. But I think something that's so huge here is, and that, you know, you and I have talked a lot about in general, is mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, I will forever think about this one time in a class of yours where we were doing the same, you know, same dance cardio to the same song that I love. It's a Destiny's Child song.
Is it Survivor?
Yes, girl. And I was like, going through hell. Like, in my life, I was, like, really going through it and feeling like I am not surviving.
Yeah, you're like, this song is not it.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not thriving. I'm barely surviving. Like, I can't believe I'm even here. Like, I was in the depths of infertility and really feeling it and feeling like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I can even go work out. But, like, I was like, I want to show up because I know that I'll feel encouraged by the end of it. And I was crying. And in the middle of, like, working out, but, like, my tears were coming because I was like, I'm dying here. And you came over and you're like, you're going to be okay. whatever it is, you are, you're going to be fine. And like, you kept teaching around, you know, no one else saw that moment. And I remember thinking like, that was before we really knew each other or had a strong relationship. And I remember thinking like, this woman is so encouraging for so many reasons. And you are so naturally good at connecting. And afterwards you were like, hey, you good, girl? And I remember thinking like, she doesn't have time to talk to me. Like, look at all these like 40 women in this room. But you did, and you checked in, and I was like, yeah, I'm just kind of going through it. And you were like, hey, just one day at a time. And like, I remember thinking like, that is the mindset I need to have right now. Like, I need to have a one day at a time mindset. And like, obviously I'm super extroverted. Like I get energy from being around people. Like that was going to be a healthy environment for me anyway. But you created that. You created that space, that community around like wellness in general. And showing up for yourself in general. Yeah. Like, yes, I'm doing something for my body, but I'm like doing something for my mental health as well. And I feel like you talked about that in a lot in classes. Like, how do you feel like you built that community in your classes and still do in your classes with group fitness?
So first and foremost, I think I love that you mentioned that because that does sound exactly like something I'd fucking do. Because because I do really care about the individual first and the workout second.
Yeah.
Because I think that fitness and wellness as a whole is such an intimidating genre.
Yes.
Because what we see is the finish line most of the time on social media of these very strong women, of these very intense workouts. But like, what about the starting?
Yeah.
What about people who are like, I have no idea where to start. I just want to walk into a space and feel comfortable and get fucking through the workout.
Yeah.
Not to mention be successful at it or feel really good after. Because I see so many different levels. And so what I think is important when it comes to community in the fitness wellness space is to understand that you as an instructor and as an entrepreneur and as a wellness professional, your goal shouldn't be to have anyone come into your space and walk out feeling good, okay?
Yes.
Because if you are trying to provide a workout, because there's a difference in teaching and providing a workout that you can do, okay, that's cute, and one that everybody else in your space feels good doing. One thing that I take pride myself on is I will know your name after the first day you come to my class, even if I have 100 people in there.
Yeah.
I study my, and these are little tips and tricks for wellness professionals, but I study my rosters. I will study my class check-in. And if there's someone I don't know, I will make an effort. Like I look at it before I start class and I'm like, okay, these three people, I've never had them. These three people I'm going to make sure to walk up to and say hello and introduce myself.
Yeah.
Because I know what it's like to walk into a space and know nobody, maybe do it for the first time and be scared.
Yes.
And so having the leader of the class or a leader of a studio or a leader of whatever establishment come up to you and say, hey, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Please let me know if you need anything. Like that's how you just initiate community because they already put down their shield and start feeling like they can breathe because they're not like a bystander in a group of people that already know each other or have been to the studio or know what they're doing.
Well, and it makes people feel known and cared for.
Yes.
Like I would say that that's like a general baseline of like success in community.
Yes.
Is like acknowledgement.
Yes.
And something that you talked about a lot with the person that you are is like you, and even from being a young person, like you are incredibly accepting.
Yes.
I think at times it sounds like you've maybe struggled more to accept yourself.
Yeah.
But you are so accepting of others and always are. Like, and you're so inclusive and that's something you're very intentional with. It's okay.
Not, I shouldn't be coming in here 30 weeks pregnant. Like, you shouldn't be catching.
But like, truly, and that's something that I love about the spaces that you've created, that you are so inclusive and you are so accepting. And I think it's like the acknowledgement like that that's not always easy for yourself is huge in the body image space, that like people, I also come off as incredibly confident. I think being extroverted is like a part of that, right? Like
we're natural connectors.
Right.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, like, I mean, a few weeks ago, I was literally like crying in the shower and my husband was like, what is wrong? I was like,
you're like, bitch, don't worry.
This body. Let me do. Yeah. Like, because it was like, this isn't what I want this to be.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, like, and I thought to myself, like, why can't I walk into so many other spaces and truly see beauty in every person that I see? But then, like, feel when I'm alone in that space, like, oh, this isn't what I want it to be. You know, like, it's like almost this competitive. For me, it's competitive. I don't really exist in a perfectionism space.
Sure.
But for me, it's like I'm like competitive with myself.
Almost. I think what it is also is that we've seen each other, seen ourselves, excuse me, in like really fantastic shape and really like, damn, like. I looked back, I got, you know, Facebook memories, they be bringing up some cute moments. Like, I saw a Facebook memory from like 10 years ago. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I was a like, smoke whoa. Show. I was like, basically just boobs. Like, I looked so damn good.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, okay, but look how much life.
Yes.
Birth. Look like, things
mom.
That you have done that.
Business owner.
You weren't that, you're not that person anymore. And so the acceptance, I think, of ourselves comes from comparing ourselves to different places in our life.
Yes.
I cannot compare 34-year-old Jenny to 24-year-old Jenny trying out for Dallas Cowboys cheer.
Right.
Looking like she is literally a bikini model. Like I just can't.
Yeah.
And I think back on, I mean, during that time, my perception of time was so different. All I did was focus on me.
Yeah.
I would just go to the gym for 2 hours. I would go on a leisurely walk. Like, to plan a leisurely walk, I need to have the full support team. I need to make sure everybody's fed. My son is okay. My husband is intact. Like, it's just not the same. And so, in fact, this brings up something that I have been thinking about so, so much lately is how, you know, your 20s, you're living out your life. And here's the thing. People live different 20s, right? Because some people do start families young, et cetera. I lived my 20s out to the prime for sure. And then most people are like, 30s, you're going to thrive. Bitch, no, I'm not thriving at all.
Right.
I feel like I
We're
was
all
so
listening
confused.
To Destiny's Child.
I was
air
so
punching.
Confused because honestly, this is the most I've struggled in my entire life has been my early 30s. Because being a mom to young kids or any kids, but being a new mom really, really struggled a lot through that. Just trying to continue being myself through that process.
It's like an identity shift.
It's an identity shift because you're not mad at the person you are. You're just mourning this person you used to be. And honestly, you're mourning the time you had because and the time to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You want to get up and go grab a bottomless little mimosa brunch. You do that, boo.
Yeah.
Now you have to plan 5 weeks in advance.
Yeah.
Your calendar might even change the day before and you just have to go with it because that's just the life we're living.
Or somebody's sick or somebody. Yeah. It's just a different,
totally
different life.
I think the acceptance, like I really think when I'm going to be fully aligned with, I mean, I don't know. I predict this, but I think in my 40s, when my kids are a little bit older, and of course you're going to come to different pivotal parental moments because then you're going to have teenagers and the world is scary and we're not locking
up. God help us. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just going to chip our kids. It's not a problem.
It's fine. We'll support each other.
Our listener are like, let's just chip up a little chip. We'll just know where he is at all times. I'm like, I like that. That's fine with me. But it's just that acceptance changes in your time of life because you're constantly, you're having to honestly reaccept yourself constantly.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you're accepting yourself as a new mom. Then you're accepting yourself as like this new individual. It's like you're constantly, and I have to say, and I know this like maybe will be a hot top. What is it? A hot take?
Yeah.
But like men don't have to reaccept all the fucking time. Like I really just feel like they grow as fathers and they grow as men, but like they don't, I don't know. It's
a
different,
different
type
experience.
Of acceptance, I think.
Well, and especially when
we're
reaccepting
our body constantly, I think. And that's what we're focusing on. Yeah.
What's going on in your, and right? It's like reaccepting your body as it shifts in general, plus reaccepting your body as society shifts, right? Like I would say, even in my adult life, we have gone from being really, really skinny was really important. And as a curvy woman, that was like, I don't know what that's like. What's that? What?
Even at my prime, I was still having all the curves.
Right. Same. Right. And then it's like, okay. And then now it's like, let's say a couple of years ago, it was like body love. Everybody loves everybody. And we have all these different types of women on commercials. And it's like, oh, you know, like I remember that Dove campaign where they like the first time we saw real bodies and it was like, oh, my gosh, real bodies. Right. And then
and you're like, that should be the norm.
Yes. And now so we're weird. Back kind of hitting a new whole thing where like. You know, Oprah's out here talking about her medication that she's on and Ozempic and we're, you know, and I'm talking to young girls like in therapy who are already in their middle school years hearing, I mean, on the news every morning, it's like, oh, who's taking Ozempic now? Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think it's like we have a lot of parents who listen to this podcast. And something I like to make sure we touch on is. How do we make sure that we're talking to their kids? Like, how would you talk to, whether it's your 13-year-old version of you or 20-year-old version of you, how would you talk to your child or a child you love, specifically a girl? I know you have two, you're a boy mom. But about loving their body. Like, what do you feel like they need to hear as young women or like, the thicker girl in the dance class, what does she need to hear so that she can get through and feel so good about herself the way that you, you know, hope to make and do make women feel when they leave your dance classes?
I really do think that parenting and those conversations has a lot to do with it because you can control what you're hearing and saying in your household, but you can't control what social media is saying. Right. You can't control what their friends are saying or what's hot at school or whatever.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, I don't know the exact answer to that because it's a challenging place to be as a parent because you want to support your child. And sometimes in those conversations, you don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Because they might not be telling you how they truly feel. Mm-hmm. They might not be like, this is what I'm hearing at school and this is how it makes me feel. So I think one thing that's important is to have open conversations, good, bad, and ugly. I know in my household, I want to have really vulnerable, authentic conversations. I would rather them hear the truth from me than hear a version of the truth somewhere else with a lot of those hot topics, you know, like weight, sex, drugs, I don't know, all the things. Like, I want to be the one that educates versus the education coming from fucking YouTube or something stupid like that. But I think the number one thing that I would want to tell myself going back and or a young girl that is like maybe struggling is that you have control of how you feel. First off, you're not going to change your body composition to be somebody. You can't be somebody else.
Right.
But you can be the best version of you.
Yeah.
And so there's a difference between wanting to be skinny and wanting to be healthy.
Yes.
And I do think it's really important to be healthy from a young age. I think that that comes with finding something you're passionate about in a movements type setting, whether that's playing outside with your friends, whether that's gymnastic, whatever it is. I do think every child should have something that they enjoy to do that gives them energy. And so for me, that was dance, right? And I always felt really good, even though, yes, I might have been like the curvier girl. Like, I still felt like I had a passion and a purpose that made me want to feel good in my own skin
and feel strong.
So I think that that's something very important is, and not everybody, and one thing is not everybody kid loves sports. Like, that's not what I'm saying. You don't need to be an athlete. But finding something that brings you joy in a movement capacity, because that's how you stay healthy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I, you know, having a boy, I'm like, he might get into these video games. And I think in balance, whatever. Yeah. But you're not going to sit all day and just stare at your computer on video games. You're going to get outside. I don't care if you go ride your bike. I don't care what you do. So
for mental health and for physical health too, right? Like, I think that there's a mental health part of that, right? I think a lot of this we've talked about little girls and moms and all of that stuff, mm-hmm. but that is everyone,
yeah.
right? And like, I know, you know, we want to stay aware of that. Like, I think that that is, we know that movement and mental health
yes, are aligned.
They are a matching pair. We know that people do better in sunlight. We yep. know that people do better in fresh air, right? Like
yep.
that is not do better just with like, you know, their heart health, but yeah. their mental health, the way yeah. that they care for others, the way that they treat others, yeah. like full circle. Like, I think that one of the reasons you are so encouraging and so wonderful is probably because you are moving your body every day yeah. and you are taking care of you. You are the best version of you. Yeah. And so it's so much easier to take care of others. And I think that's important to name too. Like, I do work with kids. I am a therapist for kids. And I do think so often I want to remind parents that if you're feeling like your child is struggling with this, like talking to a professional does not mean something is wrong.
Yeah.
And especially if you're struggling with something yourself, like your kids see that, right? So they, from a very small age, are mimicking their parents. Mm. So that's when it is so important to take mm-hmm. care of you mm-hmm. and take care of the person that you are so that you can do well for anyone around you.
And I think to touch on that, the importance of recognizing that you also live life in different stages. You may not need to seek professional help or talk to someone in certain parts of your upbringing or life, but then there's pivotal moments that you feel more stuck or you feel more unaligned, and having guidance and support. And I'll be quite honest, I've never done therapy. I've never, yeah. but I think the way that my therapeutic methods are, I work out, I move my body. Like, I can go into the studio feeling just so low and just not in a good place. And I could go through a movement session and then walk out feeling like a completely different person.
Totally.
So I would say, even though I haven't had like a therapist, I'm constantly using movement as a form of therapy.
Yeah.
And in fact, recently I've been, and I don't know the specific statistics about it, but recently I've been getting tagged all the time that dance is apparently like one of the highest therapeutic methods of movement because of the mindfulness release.
Yes.
Like in my yeah. classes, because sometimes when you go, and I'm not like comparing different movements, but in certain exercises, your mind is still very on.
Yeah.
Like you could be working out, but you're still thinking about everything going on.
Yeah.
I do feel like when you take like my like yeah. dance cardio classes, if you're able to think in that class, like you really are doing something because you're just trying to keep up with the movement.
Yeah.
You're really unplugged yes. for the first time maybe in your entire day, you know?
Totally.
And the unplugged aspect is what I think gives you the release.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I think so. Man, there's so many things.
I know.
I feel like I could talk to you for hours, but I think something that I want to make sure I leave with is, what is some piece of advice that you would tell a woman who feels very alone, or a person who feels very alone and is going through just like their internal struggle of their body image? What is one piece of advice you would give them so that they could, you know, get through the day, get through, you know, just this season where they're not feeling like themselves or feeling very low and aren't walking in that confident version of themselves?
I want to say first that I feel that so deeply. And I think we all, like, one, you're not alone at all. I'm sure if you called on 3 to 5 women in your circle, inner circle, outer circle, doesn't matter, to check in with them, they would all be like, girl, let's sit down because I feel the same way. So yeah. one, I think recognizing that you are not alone in how you feel, like there are other women that are very much going through it. So sometimes enabling your community and the people closest to you for support is really important. One thing I don't want you doing is isolating yourself in that mindset. That is detrimental to you because you're going to go down this rabbit hole of I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, and start having these very isolating conversations rather than maybe leaning onto a friend, therapist, whatever the case might be, and being like, here's how I'm feeling. I need support during this time.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I think it's really important to recognize that that time in your life, you get to come out of it, right? Yeah. So how do we, what steps do we take to feel better, to feel healthier, to feel more ourselves, to be more confident? So recognizing, do you need like 10 minutes to go on a walk in the morning? Mm-hmm. Do you need to like go sit in silence? Do you need to go take a workout class? What is it that's going to flip the conversation and start leaning into feeling more ourselves?
Yeah.
Anytime I get to a place where I'm like, I just am not well, like I don't feel me, I'm like, what's going to make me feel better?
Right.
And so, and everybody's go-to methods are different.
Totally. Like
it might be going out with some friends to lunch and just feeling like
involved
yeah. and connected. But I think the number one thing about gaining confidence back as you have lower moments in life where you don't feel yourself is knowing that it's okay to yes. feel like that, because I think we put so much pressure in ourselves to be at 100 all the time. Like, I know I struggle with that. I'm like, same. But that's not normal, nor is it healthy.
Right.
And then two, giving yourself time, grace, and understanding that like, you also don't get to fucking stay stuck. You don't get to just stay in that mindset and be okay with it. You have to put your big girl panties on and be like, how am I going to feel better? And advocate for yourself for and people in your life.
Yeah.
Like I will very vocally tell my husband, I'm not feeling well right now. I don't feel myself. And this is what I need.
Yes.
Because if you don't advocate.
This is what I need. Because and if you don't know what you need, that's okay too. But you got to get there.
You got to get there, because not speaking up for what you need or recognizing what you need is how you stay there.
Yes.
And so I think that's really important.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I feel like I'm ready for my day now.
Yeah.
So I just like, I feel so connected to everything that you're about. I feel like so many women are better off because they've known you, because they've experienced you. I'm so happy that so many people are going to have this touch point with you, even if they, you know, don't necessarily get to come to a class, but they can.
Yes, they can.
Tell them how, Jenny.
Yeah. So first off, you can follow my fitness page at Join Slay. It's JOINSLA. And or my personal page is the Fitista, THEFITISTA on socials. And feel free to message me. Like, I'm very interactive with my clientele. Here in Houston, we have a studio located in the Montrose River Oaks area. We have 6 classes a week in real life. And then we have our app, which we upload 30, 40 workouts a month. That's $24.99. Yes. And you can look it up on the app store, Slay by Jenny Sanchez. And I would love to get to know more people and invite them to be a part of that.
I mean, and I can tell you, as like I said, as a consumer, as a community member, it is a game changer, especially when you're thinking about feeling good about yourself, regardless of where you're starting or where you are. Since knowing Jenny, I have been in, the best shape of my life, the worst shape of my life, like
all the pre-wedding,
pre-child, post-child, all the things. So I just highly recommend connecting with her. Before I let you go, I have to do our rapid fire 5. Are you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. So community is?
Connection.
If you could read one book or listen to one podcast on repeat, what would it be?
Honestly, I need to be better about reading. That's one thing that I really want to get back to. But I think high level for this one, because I don't know exactly one, is I would like to get more knowledge about like the human body and how it works to be able to really honestly just educate. I just love learning. So educate myself more.
I love that.
Anything educational, honestly.
Yeah. Those nonfiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with
you. I really can't. I mean, I know people are really into the fiction life, but like, I'm like, give me, like, I love any movie that's based on a true story. Like if it's a true story, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I like oscillate. I'm like, I either want really intense nonfiction, like give me this like psychology textbook basically, or like a romance novel on the beach.
Yeah.
That's what I want. So I get it. Okay. The best version of self-care for you personally is?
The best version of self-care for me is honestly like, I'm so simple. I'm so low maintenance. I would just say, like, time to myself.
Yes.
Like, by myself in silence.
I love that.
Like, it's real easy. I just need to sit by myself in silence. I don't care if I'm in a room. I don't care if I'm, like, in my living room. Like, by, I don't want anyone else in the house. I just want to sit there quietly. Like,
go on. Bye-bye, family. Yeah. Yes, I love it. Okay, what is one thing you are proud of?
I am proud of my ability to remain calm in very
trepidation,
like really, really intense moments.
Yeah, intense moments. Remain calm. I would say
I've been
that's true.
Doing better at that as I've gotten older, because I've recognized if I can't control it, I really there's I'm doing my best.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. so good. Okay, what is one thing you are deeply grateful for?
I am deeply grateful for myself.
Yeah.
I want to thank me.
Yes.
Okay? I want to thank me, because I do think gratitude for yourself pours into everything else in your life.
Totally.
When you can start feeling grateful and thankful and loving towards you, you get to pour that gratitude, that love, that everything onto others. You can't give when you have nothing you have nothing.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Can't
yes.
pour from an empty cup.
That's right. That's totally right. Well, Jenny, I love you. Aww. I know everybody is going to be so thankful to hear from you. And y'all, truly, go connect with her. She's incredible.
I would love that.
And
thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm really excited to be here. And of course, now I'm going to go start my podcast and keep it popping. And then you can be my guest.
Okay, great.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help us reach more listeners, please share it with someone you know, post about it on social media, and leave a rating or a review. To see what's coming next, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Nick Finn Counsel, or visit our website at finnegancounseling.org. Before I go, I'd also like to thank the people who made this project possible. My wonderful friends and guest experts who joined me each episode, our production team at 3Wire Creative, our editor, Giselle Dixon, and the amazing leadership team and supporters at Nick Finnegan Counseling Center in Houston, Texas. Until next time.